Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 573. We're in the Sefer Binyan Bayis, Living Marriage, lesson number 5. We're continuing in regarding to eating with pleasure, and then we're going to extrapolate it to the physicality aspects of intimacy. One of the author's close relatives was very ill, and the doctor told him he needed to eat on Yom Kippur. And the author says as follows: I approached Rabbi Eliashiv and presented him with a list of foods the doctors required him to eat. The Rav, Rabbi Eliashiv, clearly not happy with the doctor's suggestions, instructed me to ask the doctor a number of questions. When I reported back, Rabbi Eliashiv made a new list of foods, which included sugar and many other things that the doctor's bland requirements didn't include. When I asked him why the Rav did this, Rabbi Eliashiv told me they didn't have time to explain, but to do what he instructed. So after Sukkot, I approached Rabbi Eliashiv again, asked him why he gave the patient far more food options than the doctor. And Rabbi Eliashiv answered that if I remember the words of Rashi and Brachas, and he said, I didn't finish chazering Brachas, so he just finished chazering Brachas, but he didn't remember the Rashi he was referring to. So he opened up the Gemara Brachas Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, which says that Bar Kapara would sell advice for a dinner. And one of the advices that he would give is that eat while you're hungry. And Rashi says, if you wait, the desirable food will leave. The Ein Machal Moyel, and the food won't be beneficial. And Rabbi Eliashiv explained, from this Rashi you learn, that if the person doesn't desire the food, the food won't help him. And the food the doctor recommended was tasteless, and the patient would have no desire to eat such food, which meant it wouldn't help the patient. And he got on the plane once with a very famous children's doctor, the author. And the doctor was very honest with him. After 25 years of research, he said that the healthiest food for children is the food they love. Now, it probably doesn't mean that you give them candy all day long, but it means that whatever foods that are somewhat worthy, but give them what they like, not what they don't like. And he explained that when a person is forced to eat something they don't enjoy, the body doesn't accept it properly, and it has very small benefits then. And for American child, he said ketchup. They like ketchup, give them ketchup. So anyway, you see on every level here, it is about food, but it requires to everything. Proper divacus of anything requires pleasure. Intimacy requires pleasure in order for the couple to achieve the unification that's expected of them. And there is a connection between pleasure and divacus. It's not just a physical reality, it's a spiritual divacus that you have from pleasure. The Eglei Tal in the Agdama says it about Limud HaTaira. It says people make a mistake when they learn Torah, and when they have great joy and pleasure from learning that Torah, that they conclude that's not learning Lishma. That's not learning with the right intent for the Torah itself. And it would be better achieved if I had no pleasure and just purely did it for the intent of the commandment to learn Torah. But if I enjoy the learning and I get pleasure out of it, then it mixes the learning with the pleasure, and that's not good. So the Eglei Tal says clearly, "Be'emes zutos meforsim." That's a real big mistake. Adaraba, to the contrary, "Kizehu ikar mitzvos limud haTorah." That's the primary commandment to learn, is to rejoice. Shes liyosas v'sameach, to be rejoiceful, happy, or misaneg, and take pleasure b'limudai, in his learning. Va'oz devei Torah nivlam b'damai. And then the Torah will be infused in the person's blood. Because he has pleasure from Torah, he will be connected to Torah. If you have pleasure from the physical intimate relationship, you will have a connection to your husband and your wife that way. The negative aspects, of course, which he has a separate chapter on, is called physicality for its own sake. That is where you run into major, major problems. If you chase physical passions for their own sakes, that's what we call Avi Avoi Satoma, the great-grandfather of all impurities, which is the opposite of Kedusha. That is a way to annihilate shalom bias, if you pursue physicality in and of itself. So remember, I'm going to say this again, because sometimes a couple wants to enjoy their sexual experiences and they want to give each other pleasure, enjoy the pleasure. The kavana behind it has to be always the love and affection for each other, to give to each other, to strengthen their marriage and to strengthen their unity and to bring the Shekhinah in there. If you have that mode and you want to be very playful and very sexual, involved and enjoy yourselves, that's fine. But when it becomes for the couple just a pursuit of physicality, it could break the marriage. It could cause deterioration. It does create deterioration. The Gemara, the Shlomo Melech first, it says, the taiva yivakesh nifra, desire one separation. That means if you pursue completely physical desires in and of itself, it'll lead to use everything around you for your own pleasure, which produces an inner state called separateness, which is the opposite of unification. Love is an expression of unity. True shalom bayis rests exclusively on the couple's unity. A couple's physical desire is a primary facilitator to shalom bayis, no question about it. But if the physicality is twisted in that it's simply used to you're using your wife or you're using your husband to fulfill your own desires, and that's the primary focus, then the whole foundation is destroyed. So kedushin to you, to be holy. Kedusha revolves unity. Doesn't mean separation from physical pleasures, but it means unity. Now, if you make a physical pleasure or physical pleasures of this world a goal in and of itself, that contradicts Kedusha. That doesn't align with Kedusha. And unfortunately, in today's societies, tire homes are affected by the foreign concepts of intimacy, from culture, from movies that glorify the pursuit of pleasure for pleasure's sake. But it's not always black and white. You do need an increased physicality to connect with one another. But it can't be an end in and of itself. That's really the idea. The Ravid Sharkadusha explains that the way the Yetzer Hara leads slowly a person from the permissible to the prohibited, till you become addicted to it, if you become dependent upon physical desires, then you could be led to areas which are totally not acceptable. That's what the Yetzer Hara does. It fills you with all these physical desires, and then you're accustomed to it, then you want more and more and more. Then you touch upon things that are quote-unquote slightly forbidden to more forbidden, and then extremely forbidden, till lecha vaydavay dezara, go serve idols. But it works with every type of avera. So we're not malachim, we're not angels. Hashem does not expect us to do more than what we can. But we do have that commandment, l'sasura achrei levachem. So one of the examples is, mikano marebi al yishte adam mekoy zevi yiten eino mekoy sacher. You can't drink from one cup and place your eyes on the other cup. The Rebbe is teaching you shouldn't think of another woman while having intimacy with one's wife. You can't think of another man while having intimacy with your own husband. And the idea is if a person is over-involved in the pursuit of physical pleasure, doesn't want to unite, and forgets that intimacy is about love and unity, you may come across these problems more often. Right? So it says in the Gemara, a person has to be careful, especially someone that was widowed, that was divorced. So in a case of a divorce, two divorced people that their exes are alive, it says that, don't cook a pot which your friend cooked in is a gerusha b'chayibala, a divorced woman in the life of a previous husband. It says, gerusha, if a divorced man marries a divorced woman, arba deis b'mita, you'll have four states of mind in the bed. What it means really is that there are four people involved, which means if you don't concentrate and you don't make up your mind, if someone had prior relationships, to force yourself and commit that I have no connection to the past, Then there won't be any threat to a holiness of an intimate union. You could be divorced and remarried and have a beautiful, beautiful intimate relationship with your new husband, your new wife, in a beautiful way. But again, because of every past experience, you could run into the risk of it, you know, coming up in comparisons, and you have to be very careful about that. So that's an important thing to understand. The idea is to stay focused on what the purpose is. Intimacy in a couple's life could lead to two opposite worlds. It could bring you all the way up. It could bring you all the way down. If you quest for physical pleasure for its own sake, it could drag you down. If it's a means to increase your own unity with your wife or husband, it could bring you all the way up. It's a world of love and holiness. Physical drives to be used to increase the oneness. Then Hashem unifies you. Then you're called an Adam. That's the opposite of immorality. The removal of those 9 negative attributes that we talked about. That is really the key. When a couple connects that way, will automatically remove any negative traces of impurity. Like the Vilna Gaon said, that the perfection of holiness is achieved by moving in the opposite extreme of the 9 negative midos. And to increase that love and to increase that unity. So this is the end of lesson number 5. We're going to touch upon the beginning of lesson number 6, which is called Embracing Relationships. So again, this is the idea of that a married couple's holiness rests on inner unity. Greatest expression of that is the intimate union. And there's no way to separate the couple's daily relationship from their intimacy. The same love that accompanies them through everyday life will find its greatest expression in their holy union together in the bedroom. Only when a couple has developed the proper relationship outside the bedroom, in emotional ways and in other ways which they nurture throughout their everyday life, including the times where they have to be physically separate from one another, then they will have a foundation that brings you higher to the whole ladder of holiness through intimacy when intimacy actually takes place. In order to do this with a couple, it's very, very fundamental to work on the midos in the relationship. So what lesson number 6 is going to do, it's entitled Embracing Relationships, is going to talk about the aspects of midos, of working on our midos. And this is so important. This is so, so important for overall life in general on all Bein Adam L'Chaveiros. We often lack in this because it's not taught. It's assuming that because it's so, quote unquote, simple, that it's a given. And it's not so simple, and it shouldn't be a given, even though it seems obvious in logic in the brain to all of us. But we need to really work on those things. The midos, the good midos, carry throughout your entire existence, your entire life of all interpersonal relationships, especially in marriage with your own husband and your wife. And in the bedroom, also, it entails good midos. Good midos, which is the midos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which we're going to talk about. Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gamlei Chasadim, merciful, bashful, kind. And we need to really understand how midos work. It doesn't mean that everyone's the same. He says that very, very clearly. For example, if you're looking for a first grade teacher, right? And you're looking also for a judge, right? You're going to look for different types of qualities. All good midos, but good midos have different qualities. For example, for a judge, you're looking for someone who excels in the quality of truth and logic and menschlichkeit and decency. And even if that judge is not shalom in his midos in other areas, but if they need to have a special love for truth, justice, fairness, things like that. That's what you're looking in a judge. When you're looking for a first grade teacher or a first grade rebbe, you want someone that excels in compassion, in tolerance, in going to the level of the children that you're teaching. So same thing with marriage. He's going to go into what the real midos of marriage is. And it's not just giving. He'll be mechadish, and we'll talk about it with it. Although chesed and giving is a beautiful attribute, and it needs to be used in marriage, but that's not the ikar mida. Very often people are giving people, and they help others, try to help their spouse, and help others a lot, and their shalom bayis is in a very bad state. And then there are many couples who are not known to have their special midos, and yet their shalom bayis flourishes. So he's going to talk about that aspect and what midos are important to embrace as a married couple. Bracha v'atzlacha.